Mishenka Chekhova is an internationally acclaimed performer, director and choreographer, known for combining dance and physical theatre. In her recently published autobiographical novel, Baletki, or Ballet Dancers, Chekhova draws on her years as a preteen and teenage student at Prague's Dance Conservatory, detailing extreme physical demands and constant psychological pressure. Nevertheless, the 38-year-old says she didn't intend the book, which also paints a vivid portrait of 90s Prague, as a kind of my ballet hell-style misery memoir. And when we spoke, I first asked her about some of the extreme things she'd been through as a young ballet student.
Ballet dance is a very specific discipline. It is like when you do a sport on very high level. You have to have certain physical disposition, you have to have mental disposition, and you have to go through certain discipline that differs based on the school where you study. And I think that in my case, I was studying dance conservatory in 90s in Prague. It was still not too long after the fall of Iron Curtain.
And your school, sorry, was based on the Russian system, is that right?
Yes, it was. There was many Russian teachers, and I would say that also the spirit of the school was very much similar to what used to be before. But at the same time, there were, of course, some more progressive teachers, but probably I was not too lucky for those ones. When you are a child, you don't understand certain things that are happening to you as extreme. So you are basically accepting whatever is happening to you. Extreme become extreme much later when you are maybe an adult and you are watching the situation from distance. Now, I think that probably the most challenging thing was this very strict rules in physical look, how dancers supposed to look, how is their weight, their visage, even physical proportions. Before entering the school, I had to go through special medical exams where all my fat was measured, my head was measured, my facial features were measured, if they are in the right proportion. I had to write a special questionnaire about the truth of weight of my parents.
But didn't they lie about their weight to help you get accepted? Is that the case?
Well, you know, at that time, my father was already, you know, in the age when men put some weight on. And we were basically afraid that this might be a reason that they will not accept me. So he put a little bit less weight for himself. And my mother put at least a little bit less height, because ballet dancers should not be too high, because when they stand on points, they would be much higher than their partners. So it's much better to be a little bit smaller. Then there is, of course, big pressure on how you look, even if you are in puberty. You should not have your body looking too much feminine, I would say. Our weight was controlled very regularly, every Monday morning or a few times a month.
What was going through your mind when you were standing in front of all your classmates being weighed and measured like that?
Of course, that you felt ashamed. I was pretty tall for being a ballet dancer. I have 172 centimeters. I was the highest from the whole class. And of course, because of that, I had one of the highest weight. And I didn't want that because I want to be accepted for certain classes like Dance with Partner. But if we were overcoming 50 kilos, then they were telling us, no, you can't attend because boys will not lift you. So this was very frustrating. But my weight was not very problematic. I was pretty thin all the time, also because I was scared of putting on some weight, and also because...
But also you did things to keep your weight down, like you smoked, you took laxatives.
Yeah, I think almost everyone in my class was controlling their weight a certain way, from not eating at all or being on special diets, or also undergoing already some health issues like anorexia or bulimia. It was pretty common in my time at this environment.
Reading your book, I found it, I don't know anything about ballet. I was quite shocked. And I was wondering, why are parents sending their kids into this kind of system? And is it because some people have this kind of, to my mind, old-fashioned kind of bourgeois idea of what a good middle-class girl should do?
In my case, it definitely was not this way because my parents didn't want me to become a ballet dancer. I had very good grades and I had talent for many other things. Perhaps I would become either piano player or doctor, but I had a big pressure from my ballet teacher who thought that I am a big talent and she was really pushing me to do this professionally. And me, in the age of 10, I basically became almost obsessed with this idea. Of course, you don't know what it means actually. You have only this romantic vision of like standing on the stage in Swan Lake and being a center of the attention and dancing this romantic dance with your partner. So despite the fact that my parents didn't want me to go there, I really was fighting for my dream, and they eventually decided that, okay, we will try. And if you would not feel well there, you can always return. And definitely they didn't know anything from what was happening at school, because I knew that if they would know 1% of that, they would definitely put me out from the school. They will try to save me.
But that must cause a lot of pressure for especially a young teenager to have to hide their real life from their parents.
I was not living with my parents because they had to send me to Prague, to the capital that was almost 300 kilometers far from my own home. I was living in dormitory with other small girls. My parents saw me only during weekends, sometimes twice a month. And for me, it was a big adventure. At the time, I didn't see any danger. I didn't see anything bad on really going through very problematic and difficult situations, because I was following my dream, and it was a drug. Ballet was a drug. I was very good student. I was super excited, and I was able to do everything in order to succeed.
You write about the fact that almost all of your classmates didn't stay in ballet, and there was a very high turnover rate. People came, people were thrown out, new people came, they left. Given that the chances of success seem so small, and given that it can have a lasting effect on your body, is it a good kind of bet to try to be a ballet dancer?
Well, I can't generalize this because everyone probably has different reasons. I think if you have a super great physical dispositions, which means a special way how your legs look, what's the length of your limbs, how open are your hips, all of these things matter in ballet. And if you have all of those physical features, plus you have the special mindset and big discipline in yourself, plus some luck, this is a cocktail when you can succeed. But my personality was probably, for me, really forming the decision during my studies and finding pretty problematic how we were mentally treated. And my craving for creativity, good education, plus certain freedom was things that slowly led me to decision that probably I should try another career, which came much later, but that was slowly forming during the studies as I was finding out that maybe being unified under this physical technique full of rules is not the way I want to succeed in my life.
You're quite a few years younger than I am. But I think it's very possible we were in some of the same places in the 1990s. For example, you write about the club Roxy or the pub La Casa Blu. And the book, as much as anything else, or on top of everything else, it's also a kind of memoir of Prague in the 90s. What are your standout memories of that period?
Well, for me, this is actually why I've decided to write the book, because 90s was for me the main topic. But of course, the ballet came by hand by hand by this, because it was my path. But I remember the atmosphere as something that was in very strong opposite, almost in a contradictory to this discipline I was going through. So it was very, very freeing. And for us, it was a time when, for example, house music started, electronic music was taking over, and with clubbing, there was also drugs at this scene, there was certain anarchy that was happening, there was certain fight towards authorities that were still, some of them, part of the previous system. So the spirit in Prague in 90s was this wild child in puberty that was really our age. So in the book, I am using this as like almost a mirror to the ballet discipline, this free spirit of the time in a contrast with very unfree spirit in the school.
Also, I guess just simply dancing in a club like Roxy or Radost must have been just a total release to you, because there were no rules.
Yeah, exactly. It was moments when you could really release certain pressure in yourself, when you could dance without being judged all the time. You could dance without watching yourself in the mirror. And the parties were about like really losing your head and dancing, because you want to dance, you want to release yourself in this collective feeling, and you want to be who you are. So I think it was one of the way that helped us to a little bit get back to our own feet.
Also, you must have been all incredible dancers.
Well, probably not in the way as the house music would suggest. Or I think we were probably these weird girls dancing weird movements among other people. But no one was actually like judging us, though we were really enjoying to do something that was like somehow against the rules, you know.
The second last line of the book includes the words, "I received the Best of Contemporary Dance Award from the Washington Post." You've had fantastic success in your career internationally. How much of that do you credit to your ballet upbringing?
Well, when I finished the conservatory, I've decided I'll never dance anymore, because there was this certain disillusion of, in general, dance environment, because I didn't know anything else except classical ballet. Plus, I really wanted to study and to develop myself more in the intellectual way, because I felt that the body is something that in certain moment will stop, have its value, because dancers have very short career, and I mean classical dancers. And then there is this big gorge gap of like unknown things. But slowly, while I was studying at two universities at the same time, which was the result of my crazy discipline, I was finding my way to dance again. But it was not a ballet anymore, but it was more physical theater. It was dance theater, and also at the end, contemporary dance, that was at that time for me in big contrast to what I was experiencing at school. A really creative environment full of people with strong creative potential discussing burning topics of our society. It was very vivid community that was engaged socially, artistically, and where I was finding my voice pretty strongly, and I found out that I want to be a creator, not an interpret.
But would you be able to do those things if you didn't have the ballet foundations?
Probably I would, but, well, I would have to go through probably different school, maybe school of contemporary dance. But what ballet gave me definitely was physical technique that allows me to do things physically pretty easily. But I had to really get rid of certain stereotypes and certain tension in the body that took me many years to release, because everyone could see that I'm a ballet dancer. I was walking a certain way, I was carrying my body a certain way. So to release all the tension, to release tension in my spine and neck, it took me really some time. So it was not so easy to immediately. But what also ballet gave me was certain struggle that I consider to be very helpful for artists, that is something like a creative wound you have in your body, in your soul, and that I am not indifferent to certain things. I am super sensitive to my freedom. I am super sensitive to the power, and it brought definitely awareness to the topics that if I would not go through, I would not be able to understand them. So I say this hypersensitivity that I have is on one hand very problematic, but on the other hand, it's I feel blissful because it's this creative potential that is within myself.
Mitrenka Chekhova, who I spoke to for this week's edition of One on One.